Come on, agree with me on that. Father, thank you for your word, which is the evidence of the unseen God and the foundation of our faith. We hear you, Lord, and we see you by the Spirit. We experience you by the Spirit. And we just love you and bless you. Teach us this morning. Give us a greater reverence and respect for you and your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Well, get ready now. Get ready. Are you ready? In this house, we elevate God's word. What he says is greater than our feelings, our thoughts, our beliefs, and our behavior. God's word grounds us in truth that sets us free, is life to our mind and health to our bodies, strengthens us against sin, and is the foundation of our faith. Yeah, amen. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, it's going to be good in here this morning. It's going to be good in here this morning. Leave the roast alone. It's going to be good in here this morning. We're going to continue our brand new series, The Living Word. And I want to look first at a couple of passages, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? If God says it, he's not a man that he should lie or mislead. If he says it, it's coming. It's the truth. Psalm 33:8-9, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all of us in the world stand in awe of him. Father, may we recapture our reverence and our awe of you and your word in this country. May we recapture a reverence and respect for who you are all over this land in Jesus' name. Verse 9 says, for he spoke and it was done and he commanded, look at that, and it stood fast. I love that. One of the reasons that all the earth needs to, you know, be in awe of the Lord is because of his word. His word is our anchor. You can count on it. It holds. That's literally what it means. He commanded and it holds. Thank God beyond how we think, feel, believe, or even act sometimes, God's word is truth. So whatever God says you are as his child, that's what you are. Amen? Amen? Come to terms with it. Whatever God says is going to happen in your life, it's going to happen. Amen. You can bank on it. I had said last week that a greater reverence for God's word produces greater discipleship. And I'm telling you, discipleship is very near and dear to the Lord's heart for this house, for this group of people. Can I say it again? Discipleship is very near and dear to the Lord's heart for us. Last year, we began cultivating, at his instruction, cultivating a culture of discipleship here at Grace Church. This year, we want to continue on in that with a mindset of discipleship based upon John 8:31-32. Look at this. Jesus said to all those at Grace Church who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are disciples indeed, my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus right here gives us criteria for what a disciple is. A disciple of his is someone who abides in his word. And I believe that. I believe modern day disciples of Jesus truly abide in his word. And maybe that's not you, but I know my heart is not just to be a fan of Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, not just a fan. And modern day disciples abide in his word. Okay, written word. Yes, the scriptures. Living word. That's Jesus Christ himself and the ongoing prophetic word of God. The present tense voice of God who speaks to your heart, speaks to your spirit. Well, God's never spoke to me. You're born again, aren't you? I don't think the devil invited you to do that. Amen. The word abide here means to live. Everybody say to live. To remain. And to stay. That's what the word abide means. I'm going to live in the word. I'm going to remain in the word. I'm going to stay in the word. And then listen to this. It also means to act in accordance with. To abide means to act in accordance with. So it's not It's not look one time. I looked at the Bible one time. That's not a disciple. That's not abiding. I looked at Scripture one time. No, we're going to look and we're going to keep on looking. We respect His Word so much. We respect Christ Himself so much. We're going to abide, yes, but we're going to keep on abiding. We're going to live in the Word. We're going to remain in the Word. We're going to stay in the Word. We're going to walk in accordance with the Word. That's what disciples do, according to Jesus, who cannot lie. I don't want Grace Churches full of converts. I think the Father's heart for Grace Church is we're full of disciples who live and remain and stay and act in accordance with His Word. How about Romans 10:17? We're going to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So we're going to hear and keep on hearing. We're going to look and keep on looking. That's James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, where he talks about don't just be hearers of the Word, be doers of the Word, manifest the Word. And he says, sometimes people look in the mirror and walk away and forget who they are. You got to look into the law of liberty and keep on looking. How many of you know we need our minds renewed? You watch half an hour of television, you need to renew your mind. Amen. It's true. One of the big hindrances in the body of Christ is a lack of respect and time spent, the prioritizing of God's written word. That's the Scriptures, the living word, Christ, and His ongoing word where we're listening in prayer. Listening in prayer. Did you catch that? Listening prayer is one of the greatest forms of prayer I believe there is, rather than giving God your list of things you think He ought to do for you. Is there a chance He knows better than you what you really need? There's a little chance that if prayer should be two-way dialogue, and let's be honest, if one of us is going to be doing 90% of the talking, it should probably be Him. Yes, everybody say listening prayer. There is such a thing as listening prayer. And so we want to have a priority and a respect for God's written, living, and ongoing prophetic word. So blessed because a gentleman messaged me this week, and it really stuck out to him. I don't know if you remember Lord telling me about 9 months ago that we had lost respect for God's word at home long before we lost it at church or in school. And so he's got a couple of teenagers, and every morning now they're going to get into the word of God together. He said, because we have to recapture respect for God's word at home. Man, that's amen. So be it, Lord. Now, why do we respect and honor God's word? I know it's intrinsic. We ought to do it when we hear that, but let me give you some reasons. And I put some of them up here for you, but there's this yellow sheet of paper back there on the usher's table by Dale Trent. And, you can go back there and pick one of these up because we made about 150 of them, but it's 18 reasons we honor and respect God's word. Number one, the Word of God grounds us in truth that sets us free. That's John 8, 31 and 32. The Word of God is life to us and health to our bodies. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. The Word of God heals and delivers us. That's Psalm 107, 20. The Word of God upholds and maintains all things. That's Hebrews 1, 3. The Word of God has creative power. Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 3, but we see it all throughout. And then the Word of God cleanses and sanctifies us. Psalm 119, 9, John 15, 3, John 17, 17, and Ephesians 5, 26. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us in the Word. Number 7, the Word of God strengthens us against sin. Psalm 119, 11, you might have heard it. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Number 8, the Word of God is the foundation of our faith. That's Romans 10, 17. Number 9, the Word of God gives us light and understanding. That's Psalm 119, 130. The Word of God was made flesh in Jesus Christ. John 1, 1, John 1, 14, and Revelation 19, 13. The Word of God, when received in our hearts, saves our souls. I know your spirit, man, is saved, but man, your mind and your thought life need some work. Amen? The rest of us is under construction. And James 1:21 said, the Word of God, when received in our hearts, saves our soulish man, our thoughts, our emotions, and our choosing mechanism called the will. My will needs saved every day. Every day. Cleanse, purge, every day. My will, so I want, because I don't want my will to be done, I want His will to be done. I want to line up with him. Number 12, the Word of God teaches us, corrects us, trains us in righteousness, makes us wise, thoroughly equips us for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. The Word of God is a weapon against the devil and protects us in warfare. That's Ephesians 6, 17. These are all reasons we should be honoring and respecting God's Word. The Word of God is living and active. That's Hebrews 4:12. We're born again, literally regenerated by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. That's 1 Peter 1:23. The Word of God cannot fail and will accomplish God's purpose. That's Isaiah 55:11, Titus 1:2, and Psalm 33, verse 9. The Word of God stands forever. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. And then number 18, the Word of God is exalted even over His name. Psalm 138:2. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Isn't that powerful? Take that and stick it on your fridge. We need to honor and reverence God's Word. Over the next few weeks, I want to take some of these and just break them down. The one I want to talk about this morning is God's Word is the foundation of our faith. If you're taking notes, please write down Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is what brings faith. It's the foundation of our faith. It's my faith is rooted in God's Word. My faith is rooted in what God says. Why? Because I can't see Him. He's Spirit. So I walk by faith, not by physical sight. Can I get a witness? We can see in the dimension of the Spirit. We can. We absolutely can see in the dimension of the Spirit, but we understand what the author is saying. He's saying physical sight. Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. God is Spirit, so whoever wants to know Him, worship Him, commune with Him, does so in Spirit and in truth. So because God is Spirit and He's unseen, we have to root our faith not in physical sight. We've got to root our faith somewhere else, and we root our faith in His Word. We're not in the dark where God's concerned. Like I told you with the atheist, we simply tell them we can hear Him. And we see evidence of His Word. This is not, our faith is not fantasy land. God's alive. He's very much alive. We see evidence and proof of His Word every single day. How many of you know we ought to be a great evidence of His Word? Do you realize if He tells Brian Cannon that Brian Cannon is completely forgiven, all of his sins have been paid for, then you can see evidence of God's Word in his heart as he forgives other people. It becomes life. It becomes manifest. We can see evidence. He may be invisible, but we see evidence of Him all the time. And I think God is interested in us being a big evidence. Go ahead and give God praise for that. That's the truth. So, our faith is rooted in His Word. How about this? What you read via the written Word, that brings faith. What you hear, see, and experience via Jesus Christ, the living Word, and of course the ongoing prophetic Word this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Can I get a witness that many lives have been changed by what they've seen in the spirit dimension? What they've experienced spiritually with Christ. Maybe not physically seeing Him or hearing Him audibly, but spiritually, yes. Many, many lives have been changed. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes, not on the seen, but on the unseen. Proof that we really can see into the spiritual dimension. So because of God's Word and who He says He is and who He says we are, our faith isn't some pie in the sky ordeal. It's rooted somewhere. It's grounded in His Word. In His Word. I would even submit to you the planet we're standing on is evidence of His Word. Did He not speak it and it was so? Amen. Boy, it's powerful. I love it when people want to ask, how can you believe in a God you can't see? Well, we believe in Him because He's revealed His existence and His person in His Word. We have absolute evidence of His Word. Spoke the earth into existence. Animals. How about light? He said, let there be light. Is there light? Sure there is. Where'd that come from? God's Word. So even though I don't see Him, I see light and I know it came from Him. Amen. Then the atheist says, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, do you acknowledge the existence of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Do you acknowledge his existence? Because God's not limited to the Bible. God spoke to you in a living word, in human form. The word of God walked around with sandals on. So you don't believe the Bible is true. Do you believe Jesus Christ was here? He absolutely was here. Well, who's he? The word of God. What does that mean? Evidence of his reality. Evidence of his person. Evidence of the power of his word. If he speaks it, it manifests. Did Jesus say, I and the Father are one? Did he say that? Is God full of integrity? Is a person of integrity one with their word? Jesus said, and they didn't like him much for it. He said, I and the Father are one. Why? Because God has integrity. He is the same as his word. There's no difference. The word of God is true. Did Jesus say, I am the truth? Did he say, I'm the way? Is God's word the way? Yeah. Is God's word the truth? Is God's word life to us? It makes sense, doesn't it? More on that one later. God's not limited by scripture. He sent all of us a living word. I told you last week, every one of you has had a personal word from God. His name is Jesus. God has spoken to you in the person of his son. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 through 3 says that in the last days, or in the times prior, God spoke to us through the prophets and all those things. But in these last days, he spoke to us. Did you hear that? It's in the Bible. He spoke to us in the person of his son. Because his son is a word, I love you, to you. His son is a word, you're important to me, to you. He has talked to you. Christ is evidence of that. So Christ not only revealed that God is real, he not only revealed who God is, he revealed who we are and how life is to be lived. All of that. And we live in a world where everybody breaks their word, you know, at some point. I've broken my word at some point. I'm sure you've broken your word at some point. Hopefully none of us maliciously have broken our word. But when everybody breaks their word, I mean, we have fake news. You can't even believe anything anybody says. Am I right? Do you think there's much speculation in the nation today? Or pessimism, sorry. Is there any pessimism? Skepticism. That's the word I'm looking for. Any skepticism? There's a bunch of skepticism. It's all, news is reported based on their narrative. Based on who they want for president. Based on who they want to lead the country. Based on their values. It's scary. I want to come out, I told Pastor Jeremy the other day, I want to invent a brand new news station and just call it Authentic News. Where we actually just report what happened. We don't even comment on it. We say, this is what happened. It's a novel idea, isn't it? Who'd have thought we'd come to that? Because all the news is all slanted with somebody's agenda. Just tell us what happened. We can form our own opinion. We can rightly divide. Amen? We can make judgments. Amen. So it can cause us, skepticism can cause us to doubt God and his word. But man, I say, Lord, make us like the centurion. Make us like the centurion. Look at this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Are you kidding me? When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading, saying, Lord, my servant's lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered, look at this. Lord, I'm not worthy you come under my roof. Look at this. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Just speak a word. Just say it. It's incredible. For I'm a man under authority. Do you think this guy understands the authority behind God's spoken word? If God says it, it'll happen. Because what he says is true. Where is this in the body of Christ? Lord, make us like the centurion, that we actually understand the power and authority of your word. It's the foundation of our faith. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, another come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this. He does it. It happens. When I say it, it happens. He's describing faith. in God's word. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He only marveled twice, once at people's unbelief and once at faith, right here. Jesus marveled twice. And he said to those who followed, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great, what? Faith in all of Israel. The reverence and the understanding of God's word as truth is the foundation of our faith. Understanding its authority is the foundation of our faith. Jesus marveled because this guy, he actually encountered someone who understood the power and authority of God, what God says. Isn't that something? Somebody actually, he was amazed, church. He was amazed because somebody actually got Numbers 23:19. God's not a man that he should lie. If he spoke it, will he not fulfill it? He got it. So great faith comes from profound and healthy respect for what God says. What God says. Man, I want a holy reverence for what God says about me. I'm tired of letting my feelings override the truth. I want a healthy reverence and respect for what God says about himself and about me and about others and about how life is to be lived. Because if we're honest, we argue with him. Well, Lord, I'm not who you say I am. And he's like, okay, what's your basis for that? Well, my behavior. Son, you don't determine truth. Your behavior is evidence you believed a lie. It's the exact opposite of what you're saying. Amen. Or how about this one? God, I know you say you're faithful, but you can't be faithful because, you know, I'm just wretched. I'm horrible. You're faithful to everyone else, but not me. Pride, 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 pride. Self-centered, self-centered. Flee it. Our faith rests on trusting what God says, church, and our faith is not very effective when we don't trust what he says. Our faith is not very effective when we, yeah, but God's truth with how we feel. God's word is sure. God's word holds. God's word is the foundation of our faith. Look at Romans 3:4. Let God be true and every man a liar. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, God cannot lie. He is incapable of lying. That's why the centurion just told Jesus, just speak it. If you just say it, it'll happen. You can't lie. Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. How can we be sure of what God has said? How can we be sure? Because Psalm 138:2 says we can be absolutely 100% sure. Are you ready for this? Psalm 138:2. This is profound in scripture. Mind-blowing. Here's what it says. That God has magnified his word above his name. He's elevated his word over his own character. His name. I would say we could bank on it. Why? Because God is saying he will step down as God if his word ever fails. He will step down as being God if he ever doesn't deliver on something he has said. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Can we bank on the word of God? God in Psalm 138 verse 2 tied his character to his word. How many of you know that's a good principle for men and young men? Let's just be men of our word. No, we're not perfect, but let's be men of our word. God tied his character to his word. No wonder Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, the prophet says that God is always watching over his word to perform it. God watches over his word to fulfill it because his character is on the line. He's elevated his word over his own name. He cannot fail. He will watch over the word and perform it. Whatever he's promised you, it's coming. It will happen. Don't you doubt it for one second. Because his character is on the line. Psalm 138 verse 2. See, we can live confidently now. We can live at peace. Why? Because the same God who said, let there be light, and there was light, is upholding everything and every day by his word. I can trust his word. I know if he says I'm righteous, guess what? I'm righteous. If he says, Steve, there's going to be afflictions. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Well, I can bank on that then, because God said it. How about this? Steve, there may be ups and downs, but I can cause how many things? All things to work together for your good. I can bank on that. It's coming. It will happen. Good will come out of it. Good will come out of it. It'll happen. It may stink now. I hate it now. It's no good now, but good is coming. Growth is coming. Maturity is coming. Amen. Why? Because he can't lie. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. It's a revival or something happening inside of me. I mean, with the word of God, and I'll put myself in that boat too. There's been so many abuses with it, especially with scripture. But man, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's truth we need to grab a hold of in honoring, respecting the scriptures, God breathed, the living word, Jesus Christ, and the ongoing prophetic word. Every day we need it. Man doesn't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We can live at peace every day because I know that whatever God says is right is right. Whatever God says is wrong is wrong. So I don't have to wonder or worry about political correctness now. Amen. Am I helping you there? It's imperative our young people know that it's wisdom to rely on the rock of God's word for truth rather than rely on a world who's sinking in the quicksand of moral relativism. Don't rely on them for truth. I beg you. If God says it's right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. Even if we don't understand it, I can bank on it's in love. If he's forbid something, it's in love for human beings. And if we think, well, if he really loved us, he'd let us do whatever we want, we're fooling ourselves. That's dangerous. You don't know what's best for you. Why? You didn't make you. That's like asking your Honda Accord, hey, what's best for you? You want to go with orange juice today? You put some milk in there? You'll kill it. You don't ask the created thing, hey, what do you want to go by today? What would you like to do today? Purpose precedes design. So does function. If God forbids something, I promise it's in love. It's protection somewhere, somehow down the line. And it's imperative our young people know they can trust on the rock of God's word. And if he says, don't do it, then don't do it. Hallelujah. And they don't even have to be mean-spirited about it. In John 12, I think it's around 47 and 48, Jesus so believed his Father's word was true. In John 12, he said, and I quote, if people don't believe me, if they don't believe what I say, I don't judge them. Because the truth will judge them in the end. Wow. He was so confident that he's speaking according to the nature of reality and how life works. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, I don't judge you. The truth will judge you in the end. The facts will judge you. Isn't that incredible? Now we can actually witness and share truth with people instead of walking away mad and uptight and crying because they hurt our feelings and rejected us. We can cry for them because they've just rejected the truth. And in the end, the truth will judge them. That's faith. Why didn't Jesus fall apart when people rejected him? He knew the truth. He didn't have to judge them. The facts will judge them. Time will bear out what I'm telling you is true. That was his mindset. We don't out-argue all the pagans. We out-love them. And we out-serve them. And we out-absolutely believe the truth over them. And that's what we demonstrate to them. And that's why we cry on their behalf. Not cry because of them, we cry for them. Because we're that grounded in truth. Father, so be it. Father, so be it. Be it unto us according to this word this morning, Father. Glory to God. Our faith has a foundation, and it's rooted in truth. It's rooted in God's word, written, living, and ongoing. Faith begins and ends where the word of God is known. Listen to me. Faith begins and ends where the word of God is known. So it's important we know the word. The more you have a working knowledge of his word, the more you can know him. Does that make sense? The more you have a working knowledge of his word, the more you can know him. And that's why it's important. Don't be a legalist in your home with your children and grandchildren, but introduce them to the word a little bit at a time. Just share it with them. Amen. Have them push the pause button on PS4. Why? Because the more you have a working knowledge of his word, the more you can know him. And the more you know him, the more you'll trust him.
Absolutely.
Your faith and trust is rooted in what he says.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. So we're thankful for the scriptures that reveal who God is, but we're especially grateful too for Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, because he tells us a lot about God.
Yeah.
Just what we read about him. He's amazing. Thank God for the scriptures. 2 Peter 1:21 says it's God breathed. Men moved upon by the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures. In other words, God through the Holy Spirit chose writers to convey accurate information about himself. Okay, God did that to reveal himself. But how about this? Thank God we have Jesus Christ, the living word, who's the Bible with sandals on. He is. Jesus is perfect theology. Please write that down. The Bible with sandals on. He's the master light through which we can see. It's interesting in Peter, and we'll get into this later, talks about the scriptures being a light to us, but really it's a light to us until the master light, Jesus Christ, comes into our heart. Doesn't mean we don't need the scriptures anymore, but the scriptures are designed to bring you to him. John 5:39-40. The scriptures are not a means to, or are not the end in themselves. They're a means to an end, the living word, Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Make sense?
Yes.
But Jesus is perfect theology. So you can look in scripture. How many of you know not every single thing in America right now is outlined in scripture? Like, it doesn't say anything about don't look at pornography in the Bible. It doesn't say that. But does pornography and looking at women, so to speak, in that way, or men or whatever, does it look good on Christ? No. Does that make sense? He's perfect theology. You can weigh those gray areas with the character and the nature of the living word. He's the Bible with sandals on. Come on, somebody give God praise. That's so good. That's so good. Thank you, Lord. So let's get excited. Look at this. Jesus Christ is God's own revelation of himself. So thank God for the scriptures. Amen. But their design, as we'll get into in this series, is to bring us to personal relationship with Christ. But we thank God for the miracle of Jesus Christ because he's the Word of God revealed. He's the Word of God made flesh in human form. We can see the Bible in human form. We can see perfect theology and have understanding. And why is that? Listen, if God is unseen, he has to tell us who he is. If God is invisible, he's got to tell us who he is. I don't need man's interpretation or revelation of who God is. I need God's revelation of himself. And that is Jesus Christ. That's God's interpretation of who he is. Why? Because it's his word, and he and his word are one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, Kyle? We don't need some guy or some guru's interpretation of who he thinks God is. Give me God's interpretation of himself, his living word, Jesus Christ.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. It is unfathomable that God wanted us to so get who he is. And listen, who we are. And our value so much that he sent Jesus Christ. He sent you a living, walking, talking word. It's incredible. It's the greatest love ever that he would do that. He could have sent you a text message. He could have only sent you a book. Right? Thank God for the scriptures. And he tells us in here that he loves us. But how many of you know if Robert reads in here that God loves him without the revelation of Christ in human form and demonstration of love and what love looks like, now Robert's left to his own experience of what love is. He's left to his own interpretation of what he's known love to be. If God even tells him, I'm your father, I love you, he's going to be reduced to trying to comprehend in his own experience what a loving father is. But what if he gets a word in human form who walks and talks love, goes to the cross and dies for Robert? That is love. It's a demonstration of I love you. That's a lot better than a text message. Amen, young people? That's a lot better than a text message. Or an email. Everybody say he's a living word. Say he's God's spoken word to me. You won't find greater love than that. It's absolutely incredible. He's unseen, and yet he becomes one of us so we don't miss it. It's amazing. And we watch this love walk around and all that. And where does he go? Does he save himself? Does he go to Athens in John 12 to go write books and teach about what love is? No, he goes straight to the cross to be it. To demonstrate it. This is what love is. This is what God looks like for you. Oh my goodness. It's overwhelming. If you miss the love of God, you miss Christmas. If you miss the love of God, you miss his tangible expression of love for humanity. Because Jesus didn't just go to the cross for a few elect. Can I get a witness? Amen. He went for the whole world. Father, let this understanding permeate our hearts. Would you revive your church? Would you awaken your people in faith of who you are and what you say? Lord, even in this house, start with us. Let it be true in us. Let us be active disciples and followers, abiding in your word, Lord, living by it every day in Jesus' name. So Jesus is God's living word, revealed not only God's existence, proof that he's real because the word proves it, his existence. There's a word, okay? But how about this? He also revealed God's character and his nature. John 17:6, if you're taking notes, the word, how many of you know Jesus Christ is the word of God? He said in John 17:6, Father, I have manifested your name to those you've given me. The word manifests the character and the nature of God. That's so fantastic. Reveals himself to us by the living word. This is who I am. And it also says, John 3:16, it says, this is who you are. This is how much I love you. This is how valuable you are to me. This is your real worth, God says, in a living, walking, talking word. So when Jesus says, I mentioned this earlier, as the word of God in John 10:30, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. It makes perfect sense because God has integrity. Who he is and what he says, any word he releases, what he does are all the same. They're all one. They're one. That's what holiness is. You're one. There's such integrity in the hull of that ship. It's one. It's one. There's no holes in it. There's no issues with it. The ship has integrity. So God tells us who he is in Scripture, God tells us who he is in Jesus Christ, the living word, and God tells us who he is through listening prayer, through the ongoing word, prophetic word of God. Every day you can listen to him. That's why I say don't let the Scriptures take the place of Jesus or the voice of God. The Scriptures are just part of that. The Scriptures bring you to a relationship with the living God. It's part of that revelation, but it's not the end revelation if you miss a relationship. How about this one? Gavin, you guys can come. God is Christ-like. That's probably the best news I could have ever heard. Anybody ever wonder in your journey as a Christian what God was really like at his core? God is Christ-like. Thank God he is. Because Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the express image of God's nature. Colossians 1:15, he's the visible representation of the invisible God. John 1:18, no one's seen God at any time, but the one and only begotten Son who's in the bosom or the heart of the Father, he's revealed him to us. John 10:30, I and the Father are one, Jesus said. And in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is all that good news? I'm telling you, one of the assignments of this house, from the elders all the way through this body, is that God is Christ-like, and our town needs to know it. Amen. You've got to be able to combat when tragedy happens. God forbid a tornado hits Jones, Oklahoma, and we have Christians over there saying, well, I guess Jones didn't pray enough. I guess God has it out for Jones. God is Christ-like. When did Christ ever wipe out a city? When did he ever do that? Well, he's punishing him for sin. No, he became the punishment for sin so Jones could be free from sin. Look at this, John 12:44 in the Amplified. Jesus loudly declared, guys, he literally shouts right here, the one who believes and trusts in me does not believe only in me, but also believes in him who sent me. Christ is a word sent from God. And so when you believe his word, you're believing him. You believe his word, you believe his existence. You believe his word, you believe his character. Because he's elevated his word even over his name. And whoever sees me, sees the one who sent this word to you. The word, I love you, with arms on. The word, you mean everything to me, with sandals on. It's incredible. Whoever sees me, Jesus is shouting here, whoever sees me sees the one who sent this living word. I've come as light into the world so that everyone who believes and trusts in me as Savior, all those who, look at this, anchor their hope in the word and rely on the truth of the word. I'm so glad he didn't leave us in the dark. I know he's invisible, but there's evidence through his word. All those who anchor their hope in me, the word, and rely on the truth of the word will not continue to live in darkness. What kind of darkness? Darkness about who God really is. Can I really know him? Does he mean me well, or does he want to, you know, fry me to the toenails? Who is he really? He's Christ-like. What else are we in the dark about? Who we are. What we mean to him. How about this one? What else are we in the dark on? How is life to be lived? Am I at home in bitterness and anger and evil and ill will? No. Because I can't find any of that on Christ. Christ revealed the way that I'm designed to live. Clearly I'm at home in love. Clearly I'm at home in Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's my homeland. Does that make sense? So, light replacing the darkness of who God is, who are we, and how is life to be lived. And young people, that's what you've got to get a hold of. If there's any legacy we can leave you, it is the truth. You can bank on the truth of God's word, not just about who he is, but who you are, how much you mean to him, and how life is designed to be lived. Will you stand with me? Woo! Glory to God. Can we give him praise in the house of God? Yes, yes, yes. My goodness. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted the living word, Jesus Christ, into your heart. You can be born again. You can be made new.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.